people hobby. VOA One Hits.
Hello, and welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Mario Ritter in Washington. Every day on this program, we bring you news from and about the United States and the world. This is what you will hear on today's program. You will hear timely expressions involving watches on our weekly Words and Their Stories program with Ana Mateo. Then, listen for our higher education report on student visas for studying in the U.S. from Dan Friedel. Next, learn about T-Rex from John Russell. And Jill Robbins tells us about the endangered brown pelican. But first, this from Katie Weaver.
Scientists in Belgium are investigating a farmer's claim that different kinds of music affect the behavior of his pigs. Pete Pasmans first noticed the reaction when his son started singing a song in the family's animal shelter. The farmer said the sows, or adult female pigs, seemed excited by the sound and started shaking their little tails. "I thought this was too good to pass up. We should try that with the other pigs, too," Pasmans told Reuters from his farm. Pasmans has since created a list of songs to play at different times of the day. He uses energetic music when he wants the pigs to be active, and lullabies at the end of the day. Lullabies are quiet, slow songs. "Jolly dance songs are the biggest hits," Pasmans said. He said that the pigs even appear to dance to the music. He does not play rock and roll music for the pigs. "Rock music is too strong. They don't like it," the farmer observed. The farmer described his observations to a team of researchers. The team then secured €75,000 of financing to investigate the claims. Sander Palmans is the research project organizer. He said not much is known about pigs' reaction to music, but he said that Pasmans' experience fits with existing knowledge about the effects of sounds on animals. "There is without a doubt an effect of specific noises on animals," he said. "So it's really possible that music can have the same effect." Palmans added that music could help ease boredom, which has been linked to tension in animals. The findings could be useful for the farming industry. "Meat quality is affected by stress in animals," Pasmans said. "A top athlete needs to be completely fit physically, but also mentally, and that's just the same for pigs. It's really important for the quality of the meat." The results of the research are expected by the end of the year. I'm Katie Weaver.
And now, Words and Their Stories from VOA Learning English. On this program, we explore words and expressions in the English language. We give you examples and sometimes notes on usage. Today we talk about expressions related to keeping on time. To help us plan our time, we use tools, namely clocks and watches. If something happens at the exact same time every day, it is predictable. When an event is very regular, we can say we could set our watch by it. And that is our first expression, to set your watch by something. You might hear someone using it like this. Regina leaves her house to go to work every weekday at exactly 7 a.m., never a minute earlier or later. You can set your watch by it. In this example, you could say that Regina is a creature of habit. This means she sticks to her plan no matter what happens. And that is why you can set your watch by her. This expression can also describe someone who is always on time. They are reliable and punctual, like in this example.
John said he'd be here at 3 p.m., and it's 2:45 p.m. If he's late, we'll miss our train.
Don't worry. If John said he will be here, then he will be here. He's always right on time. You could set your watch by him. Now let's talk about clocks, devices that tell time. Some events or activities happen easily and on time, and some systems operate without a problem. If everything is going as planned, we can say it is running like clockwork. Clockwork is a system of wheels and springs inside mechanical clocks. The term means something that is carefully made, which runs smoothly and on time. Once, I ran a 2-week teacher training class. It took a lot of work to organize and had many moving parts, or things that needed to be done. But I'm happy to say that the training ran like clockwork. Here is another way to say that. The training went off without a hitch. Here, hitch is a problem. To run like clockwork means to operate with extreme regularity. Some word experts say that using a clock mechanism to describe other areas of our lives dates from at least the late 17th century. Now listen to this example. For a big company event, we rented a conference room in a big hotel. But we only had the space until 3 p.m. And we had a lot of issues to cover. Luckily, the event ran like clockwork. We got all our work done and still had time left over to have a little fun. The expression run like clockwork can also mean to operate, manage, control, or direct something in a very smooth, efficient, reliable manner. Used this way, a noun or pronoun is used between run and like clockwork. Here are some examples. When the new manager took over, he wanted to run the office like clockwork. So he made the workers take lunch at set times every day. When I lived in Seattle, I ran a children's theater festival like clockwork. All the performances were on time and everyone had a blast. Years ago in Washington, D.C., I ran a children's summer camp like clockwork. All the activities were on time and all the children had a blast. And that's all the time we have for Words and Their Stories. But we'll be back at the same time next week, because this show runs like clockwork. You can set your clock by it. Until next time, I'm Anna Mateo.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
There are several steps to getting a student visa to study in the United States. Recently, VOA Learning English spoke to Megan Mankarian-Stem about how to improve your chances of completing the process successfully. Mankarian-Stem is the Director of International Enrollment at Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska. She has worked at the Midwestern University for 6 years and advised international students for more than 10 years. She has many stories about her students having success in the U.S. But she also knows about the difficulties international students face even before getting to their first college class. In the last 2 years, some of the usual problems have increased because of the COVID-19 pandemic. For example, many U.S. embassies around the world are way behind in holding visa interviews. In Abuja, Nigeria, it will take 150 days for a student visa interview. Mankarian-Stem said, students often wait too long to apply for the F1 student visa. The F1 visa is one of three visas that permits students to come to the U.S. The others are J and M visas, but those are not for students coming for a long-term university study program. Visas with the letter M are for job training, and visas with the letter J are for short-term academic exchange programs. Mankarian-Stem said she recently spoke with a student from South Korea who wanted to come to Creighton. The student, however, had not yet scheduled a visa interview in Seoul. The waiting time right now for an interview there, she said, is over 4 weeks. Creighton's school year starts in less than 1 month.
So I had to say there's just no way that we could get you here in time for you to be able to be successful in your classes.
Mankarian-Stem said, students need to start the visa process early. You cannot afford to delay or procrastinate in any way, she said. She also advised students to work with the Education USA office in their home country and attend events where they can learn about the college and visa application process. Most students thinking about coming to school in the U.S. today will probably not be able to start school until 2023. Mankarian-Stem also said, there are times when a student who has been accepted to study in the U.S. and who gets a visa interview is rejected by the U.S. Department of State. Here are some of the most common reasons students are rejected. They have not taken an English test, such as TOEFL, IELTS, or the Duolingo English test. They come from a country with a high number of fraudulent applications. They say that they have family members living in the U.S. they say they want to work in the U.S. when their studies are over. Students from countries such as Bangladesh, Ghana, Nepal, and Nigeria, she said, can be at risk for rejection. That is because others before them used false information in their applications. Mancarian Stem said, the visas are in place so that students can come to the U.S. for a school program and then return home immediately. If a visa officer thinks a student may try to stay longer than permitted, the student can be rejected. That can be a problem for students who want to get involved in the U.S. government program called Optional Practical Training, or OPT. OPT permits students to stay in the U.S. and work in their field of study for at least 1 year and possibly three after they get their degree. Mancarian Stem said she wants her students to have good answers ready during their interviews. She offers students the chance to practice and to speak with other international students who can advise them.
So that way they're not surprised by these types of questions, and they're able to be honest, but also be very clear about what their intentions are.
Mancarian Stem said officers like herself are working to tell the U.S. State Department why students should not be rejected. For example, she noted that some schools may drop the student's English test requirement if the student has taken most of their classes in English or taken other tests that show their English skill. There are so many different other ways a student can prove their English language to us, she said. She also noted that international student advisors are telling student visa application reviewers that programs such as OPT are important. Students should be able to speak openly about their interest in OPT during visa interviews without fear of rejection. She said she and others are speaking with Education USA about making that point to others in the State Department. It is worth noting that countries with large numbers of students accepted into U.S. study programs will often have special F1 days. For example, the Financial Express newspaper of Bangladesh recently reported that the U.S. Embassy sometimes holds a Super Friday. On such days, embassy workers try to help hundreds of students in need of visas in order to start their studies. The most recent was on July 29th. I'm Dan Friedel.
Tyrannosaurus rex, or T-Rex, has long been one of the most famous dinosaurs. Now, researchers are debating whether the giant meat-eating Tyrannosaurus should be considered as one species or three different species. Since 1905, T-Rex has been recognized as the single species of the genus Tyrannosaurus. A genus is a larger grouping of related organisms than a species. But three researchers, led by independent paleontologist Gregory Paul of Baltimore, Maryland, argued in March 2022 that three T-Rex species should be recognized. In addition to the species T-Rex, meaning Tyrant Lizard King, they proposed two additional species, T. imperator, meaning tyrant lizard emperor, and T. regina, meaning tyrant lizard queen. The researchers said their study was based on differences in the thickness of the thigh bones and the shape of the lower front teeth. They based their claims on over 30 Tyrannosaurus specimens. In July, another group of paleontologists argued that the March study did not offer enough evidence to show that there were three Tyrannosaurus species. They suggested the previous study did not use correct mathematical methods or measurements. University of Edinburgh paleontologist Steve Broussat was a co-leader of the new study published in Evolutionary Biology in July. The evidence needs to be convincing, and to suddenly divide such an animal like T. rex, which has been known for over 100 years, into different species requires a high burden of proof. It is true that there is variation in the size and shape of T. rex bones, but in our new study we show that this variation is minimal, Broussat said. Tyrannosaurus was part of a group called theropods that included all the meat-eating dinosaurs. It had a large head and powerful bite strength. It walked on two strong legs and had small arms with just two fingers. The new study looked at differences in thigh bone thickness in four other meat-eating dinosaurs and 112 species of living birds. They found that the Tyrannosaurus differences were normal or usual. It is normal for any species to be variable in size and shape. Just look at the range of height and waistlines and toothy grins in people today, all of whom are members of a single species, Broussat said. Gregory Paul, however, criticized the new study as not a proper scientific study. Proper is a term that means correct. He added that there is something about T. rex that causes people to become concerned or worried to a degree not seen with other ancient organisms. Had our paper been about the species of, say, the also gigantic Argentinian theropod Gigantosaurus, there very likely would not have been so much fuss and bother, Paul added. We are open-minded that there may be multiple species of Tyrannosaurus, Broussat noted. We just need more and better fossils. The number of fossils in their dataset is so small that it's hard to find any consistent way to divide Tyrannosaurus into multiple species based on clear, easy-to-define, consistent differences. Tyrannosaurus lived in western North America during the Cretaceous period, a time near the end of the dinosaur age. Perhaps the largest known Tyrannosaurus is one named Sue at the Field Museum in Chicago. Sue's skeleton is 12.3 meters long. I'm John Russell.
As seabird biologist Bonnie Slayton slides off a small boat and walks through waist-high water, the brown pelicans spread their wings overhead until she reaches Raccoon Island. The narrow island is a small piece of land separating the American state of Louisiana from the Gulf of Mexico. During seabird breeding season, the place is full of noise and motion, one of the few remaining places of safety for the pelicans. 12 years ago, there were 15 low-lying islands with breeding areas for Louisiana's state bird. But today, only about 6 islands in southeastern Louisiana have brown pelican nests. The rest have disappeared underwater. Slayton and others set up automatic cameras to observe pelican nests on the island. The cameras show that in recent years, the main threat against pelicans is flooding, which can wash away entire nests, as happened in April 2021. Louisiana's saltwater marshes, or wetlands, are also disappearing faster than anywhere else in the country. Scientists estimate Louisiana loses around 90 meters of wetlands every 60 to 90 minutes. Slayton is a researcher at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. She said Louisiana is rapidly losing land, partly because it is sinking, but also because sea levels are rising. The disappearing islands are the location of a conservation success story. For many years, scientists have worked to bring the pelicans back from totally dying off. Mike Carlos is a state wildlife biologist in Louisiana. He said he never saw brown pelicans as a child in the 1960s. Like bald eagles, their populations had been killed by widespread DDT pesticide use. It thinned eggshells and prevented pelicans from hatching. The beloved birds were completely gone from Louisiana, only images on the state flag. But a long-running effort to save them led to the birds' return. After DDT was banned in the U.S. in 1972, biologists brought young pelicans from nearby Florida to repopulate empty islands across the Gulf of Mexico. More than 1,200 were released in southeastern Louisiana over 13 years. One location was Raccoon Island, where Carlos, then an assistant at the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, helped feed the young pelicans on one island. "Somebody had to hand-feed them," he said. As a state wildlife biologist, Carlos later oversaw restoration projects on the island. But now he fears that if islands keep disappearing, we would be back to the days of the 60s, and not because of poisoning. Erosion is a natural process leading to the rise and fall of barrier islands like Raccoon Island. Over the course of thousands of years, layers of soil wash down the Mississippi River to build up the islands. But it no longer comes down because people have built walls to control the flow of the Mississippi River. Today, stone barriers are used to protect Raccoon Island from the currents of water, and government agencies work to protect other barrier islands. The money comes from payments after the 2010 Deepwater Horizon oil spill. But it will not last forever, and many sinking islands are not rebuilt at all. The brown pelicans can live more than 20 years, so the effect of disappearing breeding areas will take time to become clear. But the future for pelicans is uncertain in the barrier islands. I'm Jill Robbins.
That's our program for today. We hope these stories have informed you and helped improve your understanding of American English. I'm Mario Ritter, reporting from Washington. For all of us here at VOA Learning English, thanks for spending some time with us today. Join us tomorrow for another Learning English program from the Voice of America.